the bottom. Now we here. Now, young people, clean version. Clean version. They know what I'm talking about. They, trust me, they all know. They all know. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, these may be my words, but let it be your message that gets shared today. Open our hearts and minds to receive from you what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said together. One of my favorite Bible stories is the story of Joseph. I believe one of the most this story, the story of Joseph and where he started from and where he ended up, was the most, one of the most powerful stories in the entire Bible, because so much was at risk that could have gone a lot of different ways. One of my favorite stories, that's going to be the topic of one of my upcoming books. And Pastor Nixon mentioned, but I am sentences away, Maya, sentences away from finishing my first book. It's called Kindness Defined. Y'all can check it out. The shameless plug. I don't care. Y'all go just check it out. It's at Winning Defined. That's the website, winningdefined.com. I've been writing, and it's funny because only until I started writing did I know that writing was in me. And so I'm excited about that. Maya's my editor, one of our young people that's come up through. I'm sharpest young lady, man. I feel honored to have her edit my book. And so I'm excited about that. Let me just clarify. I'm stepping down from youth ministry so that I can step up into what God has for me. This day has been one of the most emotional. Just knowing that it was coming has been really, really difficult, because I remember all the faces and the lives and the families that God has used me to touch, and it's just been, man, I'm just like, how could God choose to use somebody like me? If I wasn't doing youth ministry, it's like God knew that I needed to be here, because even in my sin, even in my mistakes, even in my addictions, I knew I could only go but so far, because I had to come and be with the young people. And so, you know, God, you know, I've baptized and done all this stuff for young people, but they've done as much for me. But the points from today's message that we're going to cover. Key points: dare to dream. Dare to dream. The second one is decide before you decide. The third one, determine to dominate in your gift. And the last one, directly rise to the top. We're trying to stick with the D's. Hopefully I remember. It's easy to remember. Hopefully. Key point of today's message. Though our beginnings may have been rough, we are all created to solve a problem in today's world, using the gift God has given us to serve others until he comes. Just thinking about that, you know, I was on Tuesday, just the last 2 years, on Tuesday mornings, I would go to Tacoma Academy Prep and do devotion with the fifth grade. That was my grade. And this year, I wanted them to do like a morning affirmation. So before we started every time, and I want y'all to do this with me, just to kind of engage, just with, you know, when you're dealing with fifth graders, you know, you got to get kind of crazy with them. And by the way, you know, youth ministry will make you crazy. I'm sure there's a couple of screws loose. And just to do it for as long as we have, but what I had them repeat, I want you to repeat after me. I am God's best. I will give God's best to others. I want God's best for me. See, I had them repeat that because this life will make you feel 2 inches high sometimes. And sometimes you don't feel good about life, about yourself, about who you are, what you have to offer. But I believe everybody in here is God's best. I believe that God, and I'll keep saying it over and over, that God has never said, oops. You are alive for a divine plan and purpose of God. Everybody in here. Let's go to the first text. The first text is Genesis chapter 37, verse 28. It says that then Midian traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him into the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Now let's backtrack and understand what's going on with Joseph. First of all, his mom has died. And they're in a foreign land trying to make a living. He has older brothers that, for reasons we know, had a disdain for him that would not quit. They were going to such extent that they would literally sell their brother into slavery. Now, by the way, being in the pit and knowing he was about to die was better than going to be a slave in Egypt for him. You don't come out the other end the same knowing going to Egypt. That's what he knew. And he knew the dangers and the wickedness and the evil that was going on in Egypt. Joseph would have rather stayed in the pit than go and get sold. But that's where he was on his way to. But one of the most powerful quotes I've ever read was from the book Patriarchs and Prophets, page 213. It says, "But in the providence of God, even this was to be a blessing to him. He had learned in a few short hours that which years might not otherwise have taught him." Just as every face that I see in here is different, everybody's experience is different. And some of us have literally been through hell on earth. And to stop and have a perspective like this, even this experience was to be a blessing to him? How can you do that? Okay, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You have no idea the drama and the hurt and the pain and the trauma that I've grown up with and I've been through. But I believe God allows, but he doesn't do it, but he allows certain things. And he will only allow but so much, but there's always a lesson to learn. There's always an opportunity for growth. And I believe that as we experience what we experience, some of the craziest things on earth, God can use that to turn around and be a blessing to someone else. I challenge everybody in here to not to allow your pain and trauma and issues that you've had in your life to stay with you. Because if you do, your testimony might be the bridge in which someone else needs to walk across towards their victory. Somebody tweet that. Man, that's good. That's good preaching. That's good preaching right there. But I need y'all to hear what I'm saying today. And parents especially, parents, listen to me. Your children want to hear your testimony. The crazy nonsense you did, amen, they need to hear it from your mouth. Let me give y'all a quick story. My mother, growing up, I had a grandfather who I've never met. And my grandfather was abusive to my grandmother and to his children. Very abusive, alcoholic, all of that stuff. And he ended up dying back in Guyana. Before I was born. And my mom shared that story with me. No praise or anything to me, but because I heard that and knew that I didn't want to be an alcoholic and knew that propensity was in me, I haven't touched a drink since. I've never touched a drink of alcohol. Not because I say it was some holy roller, but because I had the information and the knowledge and the testimony so that I knew, instead of having this rose-colored vision of who my grandfather was, I knew what to avoid in life. I had a head up. I had a step up so that I knew I didn't, even when, and I'm telling you, God has a way of working. It was so many times when my friends early on, they would get caught up in doing those things, but I was never around. And I'm telling you, this is the testimony. I feel calm. I feel so glad she told me, because what if I hadn't known that and said, oh, okay, let me try this. Y'all know sometimes it only takes one drink. It only takes one shot of heroin. It only takes one shot of weed. Puff of weed, right? It only takes one time. But when you equip them with knowledge and testimony, that gives them another layer of defense against this world. They really want to talk to you, parents. Believe it or not, I know it took me 10 years to figure out. I look at their face, I see them up there. I would look at them and I would give like a powerful lesson or a sermon. I'm like, man, I always give myself a pat on the back. Man, that was awesome. And I look at them, they tweeting, they snapping. I'm like, man, what am I doing? I mean, I'm giving it all I got right here. But years later, Pastor, I said, you remember that lesson you did that Friday night? I said, not only do I not remember, but I'm like, you were listening? And they would say, yeah, that really changed me. That really impacted me. So those seeds that get planted. But they need to hear from you. So this is the powerful part, the providence of God. As Christians, we need to believe in that. We need to embrace that so that whatever comes our way, God allowed it, not only for his glory, but to prepare us to be great. Oh, my goodness. Point number one, let's keep going. We have to dare to dream. I believe everybody in here has woken up in the middle of night or has been thinking something that has something that God has placed in them for years. But for some reason, we haven't taken one inch closer towards that dream. We hesitate. Oh, what will people think? I'm not smart enough. I don't have degrees. I don't have the experience. All these different things. But God has given us that dream. Now, I believe that Jesus is about to return. I believe that. Listen, the key question, church, is what will happen between now and when he comes? What are we doing? I believe the dream that God's put in you is because he knows I placed you here in 2019 because I trust you to use the gift that I've birthed in you to solve a problem and to be the solution to a problem in today's world. God doesn't say, oops, so you're here for a reason, for a purpose right now. Right now, today, you are here for a purpose. There's someone you are to touch. There's a community. There's a job, a team, something that you're here to reach and to be used by God through your gift to bless and to encourage and to maybe say one phrase, one statement of encouragement, one scripture, one smile, one hug. You have no idea. But the problem is we are afraid to dream. Our culture has made us into consumers. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, now Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. A lot of us have dreams, and listen, when you have dreams, church, and young people, when you have dreams, it's important that you know you will have haters. See, what happens is, this is a spiritual principle. Comfortable people, secure people, always make insecure people uncomfortable. Every time. So what they'll do is they don't feel good about themselves, and they see somebody who's winning, somebody who's successful, somebody who's on their way somewhere, somebody who is, destined for greatness, and they'll do whatever they can to demean them, to pull them down, to make them feel bad for wanting to be on top. Now, church, listen to me. And I know, listen. I know what the word of God says is that we need to be humble and we need to be selfless. But I believe that true humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but it is thinking, how do I say it? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Okay? Notice the difference. There's a big difference there. And oh, I'm jumping ahead. But listen, if we are not great at what we are called to do on earth and are born to do, we are literally not creating the bridge on which someone else needs to walk over. Let me keep going. Oh my goodness. Oh, listen to this. Our lives are much, much more than getting a job, buying stuff, paying bills, and dying. Did y'all hear what I said? Let me say it one more time. Your life is much, much more than getting a job. I need y'all to hear this. It's very important because parents, I get it. You say to yourself, if something happens to me, I want my child, my son or daughter, to be okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when they're little, we say things like, oh, you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. But as they get a little older and we start seeing them those college tuition bills, and we start seeing how the world is, and we just believe everything that the news tells us. Oh, okay, yeah, I know you have a dream, but you need a job. Careful, parents. Be very careful. I'm trusting God that whatever God has ordained for them to do, he'll provide a way for them to do it and be able to take care of themselves. I believe that. So we have to give our young people room to manifest and bring out the dream that God has given them. Listen, let me tell you why. See, the dream is a cherished aspiration, ambition, or ideal. So we all have to have dreams. Even if you're older, we still need to have dreams. I'm telling you now. So in order to say no to negative temptation and sin and anything negative, we have to have a bigger yes that's pulling us every single morning. Because the longer we stay in mediocrity, the longer we stay in average, the longer we stay in good and not great, we leave ourselves susceptible to temptation and sin. This is the message. So we need to, as we teach in church, we want the young people to avoid sin, but we should point them and encourage them to head towards the greatness that God has placed in them so that they'll be motivated to want to do better and not just avoid sin, not just focus on the no's, but to that bigger yes that God has birthed in them. This is tragic right here. Listen to this. This is powerful. It must be born in the mind that the tragedy of life doesn't lie in not reaching your goal. The tragedy lies in having no goals to reach. Who wrote this? A dude named Benjamin Elijah Mays. He was a Baptist minister and a civil rights leader who mentored and taught many influential activists, i.e. Martin Luther King. He mentored Martin Luther King, and he said this. This is dangerous. It's literally dangerous for our young people not to have dreams. It's dangerous. Because when I went, just growing up in D.C. and driving around the inner cities of the summer trips and the places we've gone, and we've seen the guys hanging on the street, hanging on the corner. Yeah, and most of us, we think, oh, okay, what are they getting ready to do? They smoking weed. They stand out front of the carryout. What are they going to do? What have they just come from doing? All these things. But my heart breaks, church, when I look at them, because all I see is lack of identity, lack of purpose, lack of a dream. And they've allowed the world to label and put them in a box, and they don't know that they could come up out of the box by God's grace and power. Oh, if they only knew that, then their lives can change. They don't have to be to settle for negativity and drama and selling drugs and doing all kind of wicked, awful things and breaking into people's houses. They'll have a purpose. that's guilt free, that their hearts can be free because they're operating and doing what God has ordained for them to do from day one. We need to have goals. We need to have dreams. Point number two, decide before you decide. See, the Bible says in Genesis 39, verse 9, it says, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, how many of y'all, fellas, let's get real here. How many of y'all believe Potiphar's wife was probably fine? Okay, now let's be, okay. Because I was trying to think, okay, well, why did Joseph run? Yeah, I mean, I can't think of another reason that she was drop dead gorgeous, and there was, now listen, church, this is important, because if you don't decide before you decide, she will show up, she will proposition you. Let's Netflix and chill. Nobody's home. Come over. Let's sneak into the back of the temporaries. Let's wedge something in the doors. Teacher leaves. She won't notice that the door is still open. We'll go in there and let's try some of this new marijuana. You have to decide before you decide, because public opinion and that peer pressure is overwhelming for our young people. Listen, when we grew up in high school, there's no way it's the same as when it was now, or what it is right now. Social media and the internet and pop culture is literally like a fire hose coming at them. I've been doing this long, I still don't know how they do it. How they don't go crazy, and the numbers are skyrocketing now because of the depression and anxiety that the young people are having now than when we grew up. It's crazy to me that they think that they can deal with this stuff and not, oh man, only by God's grace. So parents, keep praying for your children. You do not know what they deal with. You think you know, but you don't. It took me 20 years to figure out. I don't know. I've been doing this all the time, and I still don't know. I work in a middle school, and I see them, and I'm like, this is warfare. This is serious business. So I applaud all my teachers, all my administrators. That's frontline warfare that they're dealing with every single day. That's why you have to operate in your gift, because you can't do it without God's power. Parents, you can't do it without God's power. You have to trust and know that God will protect your children, but you must give them the opportunity to dream and to make sure that they have the character to sustain them. They have to decide before they decide. They should want to come talk to you when homeboy propositions them. Oh boy. That's a tough one. I know, parents. I get it. But I promise you, they want to talk to you before they talk to their knucklehead friends. I promise you. They want to do it. I would encourage you. And even if you messed up before, you build all kind of walls or whatever, knock those down. It's okay. Be honest with them and say, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. But I want to be your friend. Not a friend. Forgive me. We're not to be their friends. Listen to me very closely. Because parents that are friends turn the other eye when all of a sudden they get into nonsense or drama. And then they start doing the same things to keep that friendship, as opposed to just wanting to be their parent and help inform and guide them to make wise choices. But parents, listen, they have to have that safe space in that home. Oh, let me listen to that Jay-Z album. Or who is it? Who's, I don't know. I don't even know these days. Who's the latest guy? I don't know. Meek Mill, one of these guys. No, sit down and listen to him with the lyrics. Listen to him and talk to him. Wow. Now, you know, Anthony and I were laughing because we would sit and listen. We would listen to some of the old school music, and all of a sudden we listen to the, and we read the lyrics. Like, man, that's straight up adultery. Old school music, y'all. Now I know I'm in y'all records now. I'm in y'all albums. So don't make it seem like it's all kind of debauchery going on in this music. It is, a lot of it. But it didn't just show up today. That's okay. I got my team over here. They understand. They with me. They with me. So it has to be character. Listen, they have to know where they stand and how they feel about certain things. That's why I love what we've been doing with TP Talk. We gave them a free space. We said when we have the red carpet in there, when you see the red carpet, you can be honest. You can be transparent. You can share whatever you feel or you disagree with, and let's talk it out. Sometimes when you talk it out and you hear other people talk it out, you gain a perspective that you didn't have before you got there. But some of our young people, they stuff these feelings, they stuff these thoughts in, and they don't know how they feel. And all of a sudden, the world comes at them. The temptation comes at them. The group of friends comes at them, and they don't know what to make a decision on because they've never talked about it. So they have to decide before they decide. See, Joseph knew exactly where his values and morals stood, and he was willing to look silly, be misunderstood, and almost lose his life to keep them intact. Are we willing to look silly for God's standards? For people to not understand the Sabbath? What are you talking about? You're not Jewish. I don't know what y'all heard. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And you say, oh, okay, well, all right, you know, well, you know. God will understand. Number three, and by the way, I have to step down as youth pastor because I believe, and I was a good youth pastor. But I believe there's someone great that needs to step in. If I don't step away, they can't be great. And if they can't be great, that means I can't be either. So I have to be willing to step away and help that young. And listen, church, I need y'all to start praying now for the new youth, the young man or young woman, whoever it is. Start praying for them and their family now so that when they come in, they'll know Tacoma Park has their back and Tacoma Park will support them 100%. And because I already know they got the team right here. And another thing, young adults, y'all sitting in here, adults, I need y'all to come and sub in for these youth leaders right here. I need y'all to tap them out so that they can go and be great themselves so that, see, listen. The problem is that, and I know Cecil feels this way, he's not going to leave it here. I believe it's easier to find a new youth pastor than it is to find somebody like Cecil. I need y'all to understand that. But Caesar's not going to leave it until he can know and can trust someone else to take his spot. But the challenge is when we get stuck in roles and are just good, not great. Listen to me very closely. Some of us have been in jobs and positions. You should have been the CEO. You should have been the manager. You should have been running the shop 10 years ago. But you thought you were just good and didn't want it. You were nervous, you were hesitant, you didn't have the confidence that we need to have as Christians to know that God has created greatness in us, because when we step into greatness, we have to step into greatness because we are great, and when we step into greatness, we can turn around and help others be great. Listen to me, y'all. Listen, this is so important. We can't be average. Jesus didn't die for us to be average. He died so we can be great. Because when we're great, we're in a better position of influence that we could turn around and help that young person, help that coworker be great themselves. And by the way, they won't listen to us because the world won't listen to us because we're broke. We don't, the world doesn't want what we have right now for whatever reason. And I'm not saying this money determines everything, but success does. We know, and I know, that it's only because of God's grace that I'm standing here today. And when they ask, well, how did you become so successful? How did you become so influential? It's because of my relationship with God. Because he's created me for something real and something awesome. He's created to do the same for you. Show me how to do that. I want to learn. I will come to Tacoma Park. Yep. This is it. This is it. And let me tell you, so we have to determine to dominate in your gift. Okay? You know, when I was coaching, church league, and I was coaching at Tacoma Academy, man, I'll tell you, if I had a nickel for every drop home, every Saturday night, every Sunday practice, but what we would do as coaches, what we would do is we will huddle up, and we will get the guys together and say, listen, guys, we got to do this, we got to do 1, 2, 3, we have to make sure we get back on defense. We have to, we have to box out. We have to rebound. We have to pass the ball, share the ball, cut and move. We would coach them up, right? And at the end of the timeout, we would put our hands in the middle and we would say 1, 2, 3 and give them a word to focus on, to inspire and to motivate them. It'll either be 1, 2, 3 team. It will be, 1, 2, 3 finish. Or what I believe and what we need to shout and have confidence is that we have to say, one, we as a church, we need to put our hands in the middle every Sabbath, and we need to count on three and say, 1, 2, 3, dominate in our spiritual gift. So when we go out into the world that Sunday, we go on into the world, we are so confident, we are so inspired, we are encouraged by our corporate worship that we get to do together to praise and uplift God and to make sure we know and everybody's on the same page that we, without God, we are useless. Without me, you can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. We leave this church, we walk out this church, and we walk out with confidence and boldness to do what we have to do, not just on the basketball court, but in life. That's what we need to do. That's what worship is all about. That's what Sabbath is all about. It's about rest. It's about getting together. It's about worship. And then once we worship, we go and serve. This is important, church. See, listen, this is so deep, y'all. Listen. Here go Jesus, his cousin John. John baptized Jesus. Then Jesus received the Holy Spirit. After he received the Holy Spirit, that's when he started doing his miracles. Notice the order. Baptism, Holy Spirit, manifestation of gifts. Baptism, Holy Spirit, manifestation of gifts. The problem with us is that we've been baptized. We don't know we have the Holy Spirit, nor do we know the gifts we have. So how can you dominate in what you don't know you have? This is important, church. One of my goals is, I didn't say this before, but as I step down as youth pastor, I told Pastor Nix I'm taking a sabbatical. I don't know what that would look like. When I'll come back, I'm going to, I was born and raised here at Tacoma Park, y'all. I'm going to spend some time with my wife, catch up on some lost time, and maybe go visit and, maybe spend a lot of Sabbaths at home. And, but one of my goals, one of my big, hairy, audacious goals is to write curriculum about spiritual gifts for our high school, college, whatever, so that our young people, and I come up with a phrase here, that they can not only master, but monetize their spiritual gift, which in turn will magnify who God is in their life. So the 3 M's, so we gotta master, monetize, which will magnify the God in our lives. The challenge is, I believe our spiritual gift can open doors for us and earn us an income, okay? Without the gift, we lack identity. I believe our identity is attached to our spiritual gift. A lot of the young people struggle today because they don't know who they are. And when you don't know who you are, you don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, you're going to do a bunch of nonsense. That's just how it works. So we need to, they're looking for identity. They're looking for authenticity in the church. And they're looking for community, acceptance, love. So when they walk in the door looking crazy, we're going to still love them. We don't say, where you been? We just say, we're glad to see you. Please, church, please, 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 please. Because you don't know what they're walking in the door with. You don't know where they've been. You don't know the hate and the viciousness of people that they've come under attack. And they're looking for a safe haven. They're looking for somewhere to be just hugged and accepted as just for a person of God, a child of God, period, end of discussion. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've gone, when they come in here, we got to love on them, church. It's important. It's important we do that. It's important, okay? The world has enough followers. We need to, the church should be creating leaders. I have a new principal at my middle school, and she already, and I'm part of the leadership team at the middle school, and watching her, this is her first year, and from the day one, she's literally changed the whole culture of the school. And what she did and she said was, she already knows, listen, I need y'all to be the best you can be and get out. The leadership team, okay? Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Leaders don't just have followers to create other leaders. Ooh, somebody tweet that one. Somebody tweet that one right there. That's a good one. Just like the goal of an apple tree is not to just make apples, but other apple trees. You go to the next level when you operate in your gift and you manifest that gift and you put that gift into operation, that you can literally inspire others to do the exact same thing you're doing. Because they have the gift. And now we turn into mentorship. And like I said, one of my goals is to develop curriculum to teach young people what their spiritual gifts are, so that once they know their gift, and once they know their passion, what frustrates them about life? What do they get upset about when they see it? When you have this burden in your soul, when you see something that bothers you so much, that is God speaking to you, that say God is like, listen, you're upset about that because you're the solution to the problem of that what you see. So you need to step into that so that you can be part of the solution. My core values moving forward is that I will not complain unless I'm willing to be part of the solution. I think that would change life in our church just from doing that. If you complain, Pastor Shiso is like, you can sign up here. Okay? That's just plain and simple. Oh, well, how come, who's doing this in the community? Your name and email and phone number, please. So you can sign up and be part of the solution. So don't complain. Joe is here. He knows all about this kind of stuff. He knows all about it. He knows what it's like in the toolkit. Now, Joe, when you go to the toolkit, right, and you're looking for a tool, and fix the piano, and you got your toolkit, and you know, this is the problem right here. Boom. Okay, I need that 3/8, whatever. I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about. I don't know anything about tools. But you go and you say, okay, I need the 3/8 wrench. Boom. And you look at, where is the wrench? I can't do it. Now, you could use another tool, right, Joe? And you could kind of make it work with another tool, a similar tool. But you really need the 3/8 wrench to really make it work quickly and efficiently, right? God is looking down at Tacoma Park. He's like, man, okay, there go a problem in the community that I placed them in. That I put to a part to be the solution to that problem, but now I'm looking for the gift. Where is that person that I've given that gift to? Oh, they're not there. They I don't know, on YouTube or something. Okay, I'm gonna have to find another way. That's what God is doing when He looks at us. A lot of us, because we're out of order. We're out of where we need to be. So when God needs us, we can step into operation. This is important. So we have to know that we are here to solve a problem and be ready to be used. Okay? Now this is deep right here. Let me break this down. We're talking about spiritual gifts, right? Now spiritual gifts are not talents. Okay? Let me teach real quick. Talent is something that is naturally occurring. Okay? Steph Curry. Steph Curry is one of the best shooters of all time, okay? But Steph Curry doesn't necessarily need to have good character to be a good shooter on the basketball NBA basketball court, okay? So it's natural, and skills you can learn. You can learn and master skills, right? That's talent. So it's not based on character. And listen, most of the time, talent can get you in the door of most jobs and careers. You can get in because you're talented. But spiritual gifts are received at birth, then activated by the Holy Spirit during baptism, just like we have the model Jesus gave us our example, enhanced and sustained by character, can elevate you to the top of your job, career, and business field. This is the problem. Listen, talent minus good character equals getting away with almost everything. Who's our example? And by the way, he started out in church. Y'all know that, right? The problem was he literally got away with things that should have put him in prison years ago, but because of his talent, a lot of people looked the other way. Because of his talent, people were willing to let things go that were any regular person, they would have threw the book at him. But because he was famous, because he was uber talented, probably one of the best song singers, songwriters on planet Earth. But now, see, talent can get you in the door, but character takes you to the top. It keeps you there. Men like him, and I pray for him, but men like him are starting to get exposed with the Me Too movement. These executives that are talented earn these companies tons of money, but now a lot of these women, the people that have been taking advantage of them, are speaking up. And their character could not sustain them there, and they're getting pulled down from their leadership and their roles. So that's why we need to have not only talent, but we need to operate in talent. Now, I believe our talent can support and enhance our gift, but it all starts with the gift. Sad that he passed away, but Dr. Miles Monroe said, the gift is the inherent capacity to fulfill a function that meets a need in creation. Your gift. Again, your gift is here to fill a need in creation. You have a gift. Do me a favor, repeat after me. I have a gift. Steve Harvey said, your gift is what you do the absolute best with the least amount of effort. I mean, why wouldn't you want to have a job or career with your gift, using your gift every day? Because you can literally roll out of bed. And it was only because I was serving here in Tacoma Park, serving with the young people, that I finally realized, and it was like a light bulb went off. Your gifts are teaching and encouraging. Oh, man, I'm telling y'all, it was like my life started over. I finally had a lease on life. I finally knew my identity. The confidence that rose up in me was supernatural. It was incredible. Now every opportunity is not being prideful, just like the doctor's not being prideful when someone in the restaurant is sick or is choking. They say, is there a doctor in the house? The doctor doesn't say, oh yeah, everybody look at me, I'm the doctor. Doctor knew that's my role and I'm gonna step in and operate in my role. The question is, do we know our role and are we willing to step into it? There's a role. There's a need for you. In today's world, you are the solution to a problem in today's world. We have to believe that as a church, because when we go in to help and when we go in and let God use us, we build the bridge to the community to come to Him. Let me wrap this up. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Joseph's gifts, by the way, were wisdom and administration. The Bible says that everything he put his hands on, God blessed it. And God blessed it so much that other people around him, the other leaders around him, recognized the gift. And they put him in charge as a slave. How does that work? How can you be in charge and be the slave? Yeah, I mean, that's just funny to me. Like that. But it's funny to people that don't know who God is, that don't know the gifts, don't understand the power of the gift, because the gift comes from the source. We are God's resource. He's the source. Just like the manufacturing company, the ones that makes our food and all that stuff, is the source. The restaurant is the resource, or the grocery store is the resource. They can't operate unless they go to the source, and they're the resource. We can't operate unless we go to the source and stay connected to him. So we can be a resource to solve a problem in today's world. I believe our church will go to the next level once each one of these gifts is in operation. Hospitality, leadership. And it's fun because we see it, but we don't call it as what it is. Okay? And we have these things going on, but I believe we need to start speaking these things so that we know, and the young people can see those gifts in operation and know when it's time for them to go and help and not just stay in books, young people. Don't just study all day long and think that, oh, if I get good grades, I'll be successful. It's when you operate in the gift that God has birthed in you, then you'll be successful. Not only have a job, but have a career. Not only be a doctor, but the chief resident doctor. Oh, I need y'all to hear me today. This is important because the gift will take us to the top, so that we can turn around and bless others. Jesus told us, occupy till I come. He's coming soon, but what do we do till then? Ellen White tells us, with such a work, this is Education 271, with such an army as workers as our youth, rightly trained, how soon the message of a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior might be carried to the world. To the whole world. How should they be trained is the question I had. But God told me, in their spiritual gift. So we praying. Jesus, oh, your will be done. Come soon, Lord Jesus, quickly come. You can help God come back sooner by operating your gift, because the gift opens the door for the gospel to be heard by those in the community. Point number four, rise directly to the top. Genesis 50 verse 20 says, and as Josh did the Garden of Prayer, as our scripture reading was read, and by the way, Josh came to America maybe 7 years ago, couldn't speak one word of English. And look at him doing the Garden of Prayer. We doing something right by these young people, these young men especially. I'm praising God for that. But listen what the Bible says. You intended harm to me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. The challenge I have for you, Tacoma Park, as I wrap up, what happens if Joseph wasn't the prime minister in Egypt? This is one of the most impactful stories in the Bible. And if he didn't do what God has called him to do, if he didn't operate in the gifts, even though he struggled, even though the baker and he gave them Joseph also had the gift of prophecy. He was able to prophesy and tell them what their dreams meant. And those guys came up out of jail, got blessed, and then turned around and didn't think about Joseph. But when the opportunity came, when there was a famine coming, Joseph was able to interpret the dream. And he had the character in which the Pharaoh could turn around and say, Joseph, you're the one that's going to lead us out of this upcoming disaster. So now, and he said this to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. We know who this is. And if I don't know if I could get somebody to play something as I close up here. But Martin Luther King said in his speech, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause and say, here lived the great street sweeper who did his job well. And I believe instead of being a street sweeper, I believe we should have that confidence, and God should be able to look at us, and people should be able to look at us. Here is someone who operated in their gift. See, church is not about employment. It's about deployment. God has a gift in you, and he wants to send you out to not only be blessed and be able to take care of yourself and your family, but to be a blessing in this community, to be a blessing in your home, to be a blessing to a nation. There might be somebody here that's going to bless and stand up before kings. That's what God's word says. So my challenge for today, have the courage to dream. And as for my appeal, I want everybody to do me a favor. I want you to take your cell phones out. This is my appeal. I want everybody to grab your cell phone. Go to your note app. Okay, go to your note app or send yourself a text, whatever you want to do. And I want to challenge you. Text yourself or write out one of these ridiculous dreams that you have, like this big, hairy, audacious dream. Like one of mine, Anthony and I, to be multimillionaires, right? Just put it out there. And because I want to be a multimillionaire so that I could turn around and give $100,000 plus an offering. Yep. These are the kind of dreams. I'm challenging everybody. Write down that dream. Write down the one you've been dreaming about. Write down the one that's been waking you up in the middle of the night. Write down the one you put on the back shelf because you say, okay, well, I got to work. I got to pay the bills. I'm too old to go back to school. Oh, I'm too old to start a business. Write it down. Just write it down. Just write it down for me. So along with that, so while we're writing that, and thank you, Adam, if you could. So I want to challenge us to consistently build a strong character, to uncover and master your spiritual gift. It's time, church. It's time to get your identity from God that he's placing you from day one. Find out what your gift is. Find out what he's placed on here on earth for you to do. Find it out. Pray. Ask God, why am I here? And once you find that out, or as you're learning it, I want you to turn around and help bless other people. Find a way to serve. Ask Pastor Shisto, I don't know what to do. I want to serve. We got it coming up in 3 weeks, I think, is Community Service Day. And I promise you, as you continue to serve, as I served over 20 years with this youth group, my gift started to manifest itself. And no, I'm stepping down, I'm giving the room for someone to step up so we can both operate in our greatness. So I'm challenging you. And as we pray, I just thought about this. I've been praying about this day for who knows how long. And church, I want y'all to do me a favor. Everyone who is 35 years and older, if you want to help young people to learn who they are and why God created them, I want you to stand to your feet with me. If you're 35 years old and older, young people, no, in fact, older 35 and up, I want you to look around now. I want you to look at who's sitting down. I want you to look and see who's sitting down. You need to be great so they know what greatness looks like. You need to be great so that these young people and young adults will know how to pattern their lives after. These young people need to see someone who's winning at life, so that life will not continue to beat them down and snatch their identities, literally snatch their souls from them. It's for us, all of us that are 35 and above. Young people, I want you to look at them. Now, young people, if you want to find out why God has created you and what's the problem you're here to solve in today's world, if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet as well. Tacoma Park, we are in the fourth quarter of this world's history. It's time to live and to operate in the gifts that God's given us as individuals and as a church, so that we can make a real impact in this community. I mean a real one, not only a real one at one time, but a sustained punch. We have our call by God is to depopulate hellfire. God has called us for a reason right now in 2019 to do that. I'm just thinking back at all these years to be blessed to serve these young people. But the whole time God was just molding me to be great. And there's something that's great. It's okay to say these things, church, to be confident, because we know that without Christ in our lives, we're nothing. I know that. I hope you do. So as you're standing, let me pray for you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross at Calvary. Over 2,000 years ago, you shed your blood and sacrificed your life so we could win in 2019. Help us to have confidence that you didn't die for average. Help us to believe as we leave this church service that you have birthed in us greatness, God. So that as we rise to the top, like Joseph did, we could turn around and say, because we know God great made us and brought us to the top, so we could turn around and help others win as well. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we need you. Help us to have a bigger yes so we can say no to all the temptations and the sins and the things that easily beset us, God. Help us to know what that big yes is. Help us to know what our gift is, God. Help us to know what our true identity is in you. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said together, amen.